little bit more. $5.77.
That'd be fine.
In times like this, $5.77.
And we don't put the anchor down, mm-hmm. we drift way out there.
Right.
So far that you don't even see any land.
That's right.
And one time that happened, and the person who was supposed to be driving the boat didn't know how to drive the boat. But I was so glad that I was gripping another anchor. We made it back to shore, but I never went back with that person out in the boat.
Well,
but I think about that when I go deep sea fishing, which I hope to do soon. I feel like I want to run. I feel like I can fly. Sister Diane asked me, say, what's wrong? There's nothing wrong. It's just there's an unusual feeling. It's good. And when I saw my niece come in, I'd already seen my nephew. Stand up, Evan. You haven't been here in a while. I missed you. Where you been? Good to see you. Stand up, Madison. Good to see you. And stand up, Mommy. am so glad that you are here today. Made my heart glad. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sad. I just feel unusually warm. So I don't know what the Holy Ghost is going to do today. But I'm going to tell the Holy Ghost, thank you. Have your way. And the house is full, Pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you might not have nobody, many people in Sunday school, but the house is full.
That's a good thing.
But that's all right, anyhow. But we're going to do what thus said the Lord. When Gerald was asking the question, I want to hear what he's going to say, too, because you know what? God can do whatever he wants to do. He's all-knowing, he's all-power, he's everywhere at the same time.
Right.
But sometimes God will change the script, and you don't know quite what he's going to do. But I trust him.
Amen.
I trust him, so I know it's going to be okay. Whichever way he goes, it's fine. To Pastor Davis, thank you for the privilege to stand in your stead here today behind this desk. And I pray that I will say only what the Holy Spirit will have me say, and that you will receive what thus said the Lord. To my co-laborer in the gospel, Minister Riley, when he asked the question, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you saying? But it's all right anyhow. And to you out there, turn up your spiritual antenna so you can hear what the Spirit of God will say to you today. There is a word, and however God wants me to deliver it, that's what it's going to be. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, you are my CPR, my creator, my provider, my redeemer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, God. And God, you will have us understand that your kingdom is not in word, but in power. I ask, God, that the teaching, preaching be not with my words or enticing words, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, I thank you for the power, for the exceeding greatness of your power to all of us that believe. And you do things according to the working of your mighty power. So we say, Holy Ghost, have your way in this place today. Do what seems good to you. Send the word that you want your people to hear. Because God, we need to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't hear, we won't know what to do. We realize we're in perilous times. And in times like these, God, we need to hear from you. So that we will know what we should do. God, we're not interested in any fake news. We're not interested in all these words that's coming through the media, but we want to hear from you, God. For your word is the truth. Your word is powerful. It's quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. So let your word come flow in the manifestation of the Spirit, in the demonstration of your power. And God, I thank you. It's in the name of Jesus that I do pray. Amen. Some of you were not here last Sunday, and our pastor, Pastor Davis, was preaching, and I understood him to say, when faith meets power, something is going on.
Yeah.
And from this, I came up with a formula that says, F plus P equals MA. Anybody want to guess what that means? That was present. I'll tell you, faith plus power equals mighty acts. Mighty acts. First of all, faith is not something intangible that does nothing. Faith, I believe, is one of the most important words in the Bible. For the word declares, we are saved by faith in Christ. We're justified by faith in Christ, and the just shall live by faith. How many have been justified? So you're supposed to live by faith.
Amen.
God goes on to say, without faith, it's impossible to please him. I want to please him. What about you?
Amen.
I said, I want to please him. What about you?
Amen.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad you want to please him. Not only is something that faith is required of us, faith is something that we all need. And God has given to all of us a measure of faith. He says, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please him. But faith is an important weapon in spiritual warfare. How many know we're in a war?
Mm-hmm.
Something is really going on.
Yeah.
Something that's not godly. Yeah. The enemy has raised his head in as many ways as he can.
Mm-hmm.
There's a battle going on with some of us internally. And there's a real battle out there. But thanks be to God, we got faith. And we don't have to worry about what the enemy is doing and who he is using. We are instructed to take the shield of faith so that we'll be able to quench every little fiery dart that comes our way. So if I would submit to you a title, the theme is really about the power of God, but the title of this message today is The Power and Authority of the Believer, which I hope all of us in here belongs to Christ, have accepted him. And if you haven't got his spirit, you are a believer. So in order for us to implement the authority that Christ has given us, we must be persons of what? Faith. Now, in the last sermon I preached last month, I talked about three P words. I talked about promise, power, and purpose. And today, I'm going to address power. And when we read through the Bible, we see things about power. We have I probably gave a definition according to Vine's Expository Dictionary that says, power, from the Greek perspective, can be translated to mean authority and ability. Authority is one thing, and ability is quite another. So today, I'm going to be preaching about the authority of a believer. I want you to understand at least three things. The difference between power and authority, the authority of Christ, and your authority as a believer. Again, I want you to understand the difference between power and authority, the authority of Christ, and our authority as a believer. Now, I want to go back to Ephesians 1 and 13. And it says, on whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So as a believer, you've been sealed. And if you've been sealed, everybody or somebody, anybody should know that you're a believer. But sometimes we can't tell the believers from the unbelievers.
Right, well,
I better say that again. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish, when you put it that way, a believer from an unbeliever. Because we try to act like the world. But the word of God said, be ye transformed. Do not be conformed to the world. Nothing in the world. But the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. All this going to pass away. And that's not of God. But we as believers should be shining our lights in the world, that somebody might see that we are in Christ.
All right.
When we think about the authority, which is exousia, and the ability, which is dunamis, I'm going to be talking and going back and forth, but when you hear me say exousia, I'm talking about authority. When I say dunamis, I'm talking about the ability, the force to get something done. One thing that Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-19, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. So he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to remember, all authority belongs to him. The only authority believers have is the delegated or conferred authority that Jesus gives us. So what is authority? Authority means a right, a privilege that's given to someone by another. And sometimes when we go to a Bible dictionary or when we research, and we see different things about power. But the authority here refers to position, not power. Let me give you an example. A policeman or a policewoman do not have, I cannot say they have the ability to stop traffic. I don't care how strong they are, how wise they are, they can't stop the smallest car because they don't have that kind of power or strength. Even though they may not have physical or personal strength to stop the traffic, they are given the authority under the law to command the traffic, and they can literally stop traffic with authority. They can do it just by holding up their hand. Sometimes people think because they have authority that they have the power to control something. And until Jesus sent the Holy Spirit from the Father, people thought they had ability over Satan. Oh, I did it myself. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Why? We heard somebody else say that, maybe. We weren't trying to imitate people, but we thought that was the right thing to say. But I can tell you, we can never muster up enough energy or strength to stop the devil. But we have been given authority over him in Jesus' name. So there's authority in the name of Jesus. So we have been given authority over him in Jesus' name. And by virtue of our testimony, we belong to God, having accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I could go quickly from Genesis to Revelation. So I'm not going to take you through all that. I'm going to go straight to Revelation. Revelation 12:11 said, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What's your testimony? Do you belong to Jesus? Now, if we look into, somebody say, yeah. Somebody say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. But as we look at John 1:12, we find the promise of salvation. We are promised exousia, the authority to become the sons of God. Does this mean that we're given some special power, strength, some dynamo by which we can muscle up our way to becoming a son of God? Of course, the answer is no. But the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. By faith in Christ, we have authority. He gave us a right to become the children of God. In fact, he allowed us to be adopted into sonship. Have you been adopted into the family of God? You don't have to tell me, but that's a question for you. Mm-hmm. If not, why not? If not, don't put it off. You need to do it today, because tomorrow is not promised.
Mm-hmm.
So many things are going on. Every time you look at the news, someone is being killed, there's been accidents, there's been sinkholes, all kinds of things are going on. So you don't need to be without a Savior. You don't need to be without the Lord. And you need some authority. Not only that, we read that if you believe and have accepted Him, you have received the Spirit of God. And the Word of God said, if you have not my Spirit, you're not mine. Yes, we were all created by God, but you got to be born again. You got to get God's Spirit. Mm-hmm. To really become a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put it off if you have not been adopted into the family. It's going to be hard for us to follow the Great Commission. In our Sunday school lesson, we've been seeing the different calls that God called people to do certain things. Well, all of us have been called.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you have a clear revelation of you, a clear revelation or a good understanding of your authority as a believer, you won't even be able to do what God wants you to do. So, I want to make it very clear about this authority. Authority, then, is intangible positional power through a command. Authority not used is abused authority. I remember asking God for more power. He said, you haven't used what you got. So why ask for more something when you don't even use what you have? But I want to urge you today to exercise your authority. You've been given it. One thing that Jesus said in Mark 13:34, he was like making a parable, I could say. He said, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants,
mm-hmm,
and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. In this context, Jesus was speaking to his disciples about the time between the first and second coming. He said he was going to leave his house and return to heaven, and he gave to each of his servants on earth work to do. Not only did he give them assignment and work, but he gave them the authority to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 2:4-5, my message, my preaching, were not with wise and enticing words and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, but on the power of God. So Paul, as educated as he was, Paul refused to depend on his natural abilities. So let this be a lesson to us. Instead, he intended that people's faith would rest not on human wisdom,
mm-hmm,
but on a gospel preached with confirming signs and wonders in the demonstration of the Spirit power.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see now the source of that Holy Ghost power that Jesus has promised to us. Acts 1:5-8 said, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when? When the Holy Ghost come on you. And you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So, if authority is intangible, then ability must be tangible, demonstrated power. And sometimes you might see someone who is preaching or teaching and the Holy Ghost just shows up. So the force of dunamis is sometimes felt physically and spiritually. It operates by the gift of faith.
Right.
Sometimes that dunamis power just leaps onto a person or thing. But what's happening on the inside is a knowing. Not necessarily do you speak something, but you just know that you know that you know within you. It'd be the Holy Ghost letting you know. And sometimes there may be a bold action. Somebody might do something out of the ordinary if the Holy Spirit says so. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a simple touch. And that dunamis power can be released. So we can understand, one can feel the transfer from one person to another. That's power. Mm-hmm. But there are some things about dunamis that I need to call to your attention. There are some things that sort of specifically about the authority. But one thing about the dunamis power, it must be received by faith. It must be energized. Now this is when you really need your pen to take these scriptures, because time is not going to permit me to go through them all. But must be received by faith. Notice last Sunday the pastor said faith plus power means something is being done, something's going on. So in Luke 24:49, Acts 1:8, which I just told you about, 1 Corinthians 12:10, 2 Corinthians 12:12, Galatians 3:5, all of this speaks to faith being worked and energized. So if you write them down, you can go back later and review them. Strongly related to allowing grace to work in our lives. You see, when Jesus was given all power and authority, he gave us authority and power. So you need to understand, in the book of Acts, some said the Acts of the Apostles, some said the Acts of the Holy Ghost. But if you want to know about the Acts of the Holy Ghost, you need to read the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. One thing about dunamis power, it does not depend on your holiness. You see, some people, they're holier than thou. They've never done nothing wrong. Yeah, but one thing about that power is boldness. The apostles, when they tarried in Jerusalem and was filled with the Holy Ghost, they got real bold. They were bold in their preaching. They didn't go hiding, being scared of the Jews, but they went out and preached and people got saved. Wonder what happens today in the churches. How come we don't see that happening like that today? It's not because we don't have the power or the authority. We don't use what we got. Is it just lying dormant? Is it that things don't want to be like it used to be? I don't know about you, I grew up in a preacher's home, so I had to go to church all the time. Even in Madison, if we didn't go to Sunday school, we didn't go nowhere else that day. That was the norm. Yeah. If you played sick, then you was too sick to do anything after church. Maybe, just maybe, we need to go back to the old time way. Oh, somebody say, oh no, that's old school. But in times like these, you need the Savior. In times like these, you need that Holy Ghost power. In times like these, we're in perilous time. And we can't do what we need to do on our own authority. But notice what Jesus did. Jesus called 12 disciples. And he called them together and he gave them dunamis power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So if he gave it to his disciples and we are followers of Christ, is it safe to say we have power? The word of God just tells us when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall have power. We receive the Holy Ghost. That's our seal that we belong to God. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't worship God. Because he said those who worship God must do in the spirit and in truth. In fact, I know some people like Nicodemus. They went to Jesus by night, educated folks like Nicodemus. And Jesus had to tell them, you must be born again. You must be born of the spirit. He was so educated, he asked the nurse, can I go back into my mother's womb once? No, they can't have, he said, that which is flesh, you must be born of the spirit. Mm-hmm. Once we're born of the Spirit, we got Jesus' Spirit, and Jesus gives us the authority to do what we need to do. But it's interesting that how we see the church lacking in the evidence of power. It's not because Jesus hasn't done, it's because we are sitting down, not realizing and acknowledging our authority as a believer. So what should we do about that? Sometimes we just think it's all left up to the pastors, the minister, but God has called each one of us to a work. And he told us to make our calling and election sure. So that doesn't mean believers are supposed to go and sit down, come Sunday after Sunday, hear the sermon, go out in the world, and do absolutely nothing. Jesus said, when you receive the power, after the Holy Ghost have come upon you, you should be my witness. And we don't witness just with our mouth. That's our right. Witness has to be verbal and nonverbal. If you are a believer, and I just believe that everybody in here just might be a believer, but in case not, there are three things that you and I should be doing as a believer. Number one, witnessing. Verbal means telling someone, anyone, about the goodness of Jesus, about the gospel of Jesus, and the plan of salvation. We didn't get saved to just sit down and say, hey, I'm saved. Because you know what? Even though we are saved, we're supposed to work out our salvation. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we've been delivered. But he's given us the Holy Ghost so we don't have to be under the bondage of sin. And when Jesus come back, he's going to take us away. Take us on away from the presence of sin. Now, we ought to be working till he come. He said, occupy. In other words, what can my nonverbal communication be? Our nonverbal communication is our lifestyle. Is your light shining in a dark place? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life? Galatians 5:20 talks about love, joy, peace, temperance, meekness, self-control. Or when you're talking on your job, does anybody know you're a believer? Wait. Are your words seasoned with salt?
Come on now.
Not asking you to answer that, but sometimes on those jobs, and I'm about to go back to one, it sure enough make you want to pray.
Amen.
Because a whole lot be going on. Sometimes I ask myself, I'm retired, why did I subject myself to this? Sometimes you get a little nudge from the Holy Ghost. He'll see on your lips. He'll check you out. He won't let you say certain things. He won't let you do certain things. That's if you allow the Holy Ghost to control. But Jesus gave us what we need. So not only should we be his witness, we should be working. Jesus said in John 14:12, the believers should do greater works. What was Jesus doing? Jesus went about doing good, preaching, healing, delivering, casting out devils, raising the dead. Jesus did some awesome things. I tell people he had a PhD, preaching, healing, and delivering. So, if Jesus has given us the authority and given us the power of the Holy Ghost, why don't we see the greater works? That's a question that we need to think about. Asking you to do a little self-examination. Now, you know that Jesus is coming back. He said he was coming back. But while we are waiting for him to come back, when we don't know when he's coming, all we know he's coming because he said he was coming back. So while we're waiting, we should be praying and fasting. If you recall the scripture, Jesus had sent the disciples out, and they came back and they said, even the devils are subject to us. And Jesus said, don't be so happy about the devil being subject. Be glad that your name is written in the book of life. Not so much what you're doing, because without me you can do nothing. And then they start complaining, Jesus, there's some over there, they're not with us, and they're doing this in your name. Jesus said to let them know, they may not be who they think are, but if they're doing things in the kingdom, then they are. You know, sometimes we sit in judgment about people.
Yeah.
Oh, I know they ain't saved based on what they're doing. And when we see a baby cry, sometimes we be the first to bring judgment. Oh, I thought they were saved. And if we say something, oh, we just human, or that slipped up. Pastor always tells us, no, you didn't just slip up. You got off G-O-D. No, oh, I got off my guard. No. Because the Holy Ghost going to teach you. The Holy Ghost is going to allow you to learn what Jesus is saying, because he's going to take what Jesus say and communicate to us. One other thing that Jesus wants us to do is to watch. We should be watching. If you know a thief was coming to rob your house, you would be watching it. You would lock it up. You wouldn't just sit there and let him come and just steal your stuff. Now, there's an old saying that say, I can't lose with the stuff I use. Stuff I use is faith. The stuff I use is authority. The stuff I use is the ability that the Holy Ghost gives. But if you're not listening to the Holy Ghost, if you're not following the Holy Ghost, how can you be doing what Jesus said? So, you need to use your authority. Let God's power flow through you to accomplish what he desired. We often say, God, not my will, but yours. When you totally surrender to God and let the Holy Ghost rise up in you, he will do what needs to be done. So understand, our indwelling helper is the Holy Spirit. And I want you to remember the Holy Spirit as your IRA. So, what is that? I'm not talking about nothing that has to do with finances. He is our RIA, he's mine, he's the interpreter of the word. The Bible say when the word came, holy men wrote as they were inspired by God. So, since the Holy Ghost wrote the word, he had to be an interpreter. He said, oh, no scripture is our private interpretation. So the Holy Ghost got to be interpreter of the word. Now, how many know there are times when you let God, I don't get that. God, that's just too deep for me to understand. The Holy Ghost is a revelator. He will reveal to us the things of God. But more importantly, he is the administrator for God in Jesus. Because Jesus told us that the Holy Ghost is going to testify of him. Jesus got all his power and authority from the Father. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Are you allowing the Holy Ghost to do his work? Do you ever quench the Spirit? Have you heard the Holy Spirit tell the quiet voice to say something? You heard it, but you kept right on doing what you was doing. Then all of a sudden there is a problem. And then you say, if I had just only listened and heeded what the Holy Spirit said. Not too long ago, I was told, you don't need to go that way. And honest to God, I do not believe I was speaking. But because I went the way that I thought I wanted to go, quick and fast, I got a speeding ticket. But I was told, and this is, we don't intend not to follow, let the Holy Spirit lead us. But sometimes we get so caught up with other things that all of mine listen to what the devil is saying. Because we know our mind is the battleground for the devil, right? He'll come with little stuff. So I went tripping on, and then finally I said, nothing I can say. Because God, you told me to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I, listening to Carol, went that way. So what happened to me should have happened. But I bet you I learned a great lesson from that. When the Spirit of God speaks to us, we need to obey. Whether we understand it or not with our own little mind. Because he tells us to lean not to our own understanding. But he said in all of our ways acknowledge him and he will direct. But we are quick to think that we know something. We're not God. God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere at the same time. Pastor's been preaching God is not bound by time and space and matter. He's not. So the same author that Pastor used last week talking about Derek Prince, he's a man that's written several books on experiencing the power of God. And he makes it very clear that it was good, or we're better off, that Jesus went back to heaven rather than staying on earth. Because when the Holy Ghost came, the Holy Ghost is everywhere. The Spirit of God is everywhere. So that's why we can do greater works. Thank Jesus being one man. He could be talking to Peter, James, and John all at one time. But if they're in different places, he couldn't have been in all different places. But thanks be to God, he went back to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercessions for us. And you know, we really need somebody to intercede for us. The Bible lets us know in the world, there are a lot of things going on. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But if you aren't working, if you aren't witnessing, if you're not watching, I'm afraid that you're missing out on what Jesus expects us to do.
Mm-hmm.
How can we be his witness without his Spirit? How can we hear from God without his Spirit? How can we be watching and hearing what he's saying and waiting patiently for his right if we don't have the Spirit? Now the Spirit gonna teach us. It's gonna lead us, gonna guide us. But if you're on the sound of my voice today and you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I urge you to get adopted into the family of God. As what I heard one prophet say, Donald Trump is not my president, he's yours. But I'm not even saying that because I believe Donald Trump got in the White House because God allowed him to be there. So maybe to make us get to where we need to pray. Somebody said, this is praying time. I said, this is time for us to get off the seat of do nothing and do what needs to be done. Because Jesus is coming back. And since we don't know the day, the time, or the hour, he can come anytime.
Yeah.
So since we don't know when he's coming, T.D. Jakes said, get ready. But I said, be ready, because you don't know when it's coming.
Right.
You may not have time to get ready.
That's right.
So as a believer, you have authority. You need to use what you got. And see, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you what you need to do. You have been sealed. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So since you are sealed, you belong to God. And because you belong to God, we ought to be doing what God said. We should see the evidence. Back in the early church, devils were cast out. People were healed. People were raised from the dead. Y'all remember Lazarus, right? They tried to tell Jesus, you're 4 days late. Jesus said, might be 4 days late, but I'm still on time. Our time is wandering out, and we can tell by the signs of the time. We don't need to just sit here and wait on the seat or do nothing, but we need to be about our Father's business. He's given us what we need. He's empowered us with his Spirit, so we have no excuse. We can't say, I don't know how to do that. Sometimes, as I mentioned last time, we're empowered to serve in the kingdom of God. We've been empowered to serve, to be a servant. And what does a servant do? He does what his master tells him to do, right?
Amen.
Jesus said, "What, call me master and do not the things I say." Mm-hmm. So if he's truly master, we ought to be doing the things he said. And not only that, since we have authority, we are to provide the service in the kingdom. Now, Jesus is King of kings and he's Lord of lords. Mm-hmm. But we have his spirit. We belong to him. We've been bought with a price. Mm-hmm. He allows the spirit to indwell our body. And that's why he can say, "I'll never leave you," or "I'll never forsake you." Mm-hmm. You have authority as a believer. Unused authority is abuse of authority.
Mm-hmm.
Why would somebody give somebody on the job authority and they don't do what they need to do? So if you don't remember nothing else I said today, you've been sealed with the spirit of promise. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, impossible to God. With him, all things are possible. And because we have his spirit, he will let us know what we need to do. If we're tuned in to hear what the spirit is saying to us, sometimes we're sitting and waiting for the pastor to do everything. But we've been called to do work of ministry. Every believer in Christ have been called. True, he gave certain gifts, pastors, apostles, teachers, evangelists, but he can allow the gift of the Spirit to operate in anybody that says. So will you present your body to be used today? By God. You have power and authority invested in you. So use what you got. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you as a believer, God, that your people are committed and recommitted to use the authority that you've given us. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that you've given us. Because God, you declare, when the Holy Ghost comes, we shall have power. And we are to be your witnesses, God. God, while we've been sitting down, stir us up to the sense of our duty that we will get up and do those things that you've called to task for us. We realize, God, that we can't do anything without the Holy Ghost. Oh, as the writer said, without him, we're a ship without a sail. We'll just be going any kind of way or nowhere at all, but we want to please you, God. And God, we pledge to you this day that we will use that which you've given us. We thank you for the Holy Ghost that indwells us. We realize we've been bought with a price and our body belongs to you. And we thank you for that spirit, your spirit. It's in the name of Jesus that we do ask these things. Amen.
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 Thank
you, God.